Welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name is Kelly, and we are gathering today to inspire you in your work with flowers.
Hey everyone, this is Daphne, and I'm the Event and Partnership Coordinator here at Team Flower. I wanted to introduce you today to an exciting new product that I feel is groundbreaking on the path for sustainability in the floral industry. The Ocean Pouch is made from 100% natural ingredients, making it an environmentally friendly alternative to single-use foam. Outside of my Team Flower work, I'm a designer as well and know that there are times when chicken wire just isn't going to cut it. And while I do my best to use eco-friendly, sustainable mechanics, sometimes I just have to pull out the foam. The Ocean Pouch gives us a product that is biodegradable and can be thrown in the compost pile post-event. Specifically developed for sympathy and event work, the pouch is extremely versatile and reliable. To use it, skewer holes into the pouch, let it soak in water for a few minutes, similar to foam, and then you're ready to go. They ship within the United States and Canada right now, with the possibility of international shipping coming soon, and you can order a sample pack at www.newageflorals.com or sign up for a wholesale account with a discount. I'm super excited about this product and the direction it can help take our industry in being cleaner and gentler to the environment. We only have one planet, and while we do produce a lot of waste, we can also do our best to minimize the impact by employing cleaner and more sustainable mechanics like the Ocean Pouch. You can learn more at www.oshunpouch.com. Stay tuned to hear from our special guest.
SEO. You might have heard these three little letters used before, but maybe you aren't exactly sure how and why they pertain to your business. Simply put, search engine optimization is a key component of being found by the right customers. Hey everyone, it's Carrie with Team Flower here. Are you wondering what Team Flower is all about? Next month, on April 12th, you can participate in a one-time class at teamflower.org/live. For just $49, you can learn something new each month. Join in with other floral enthusiasts and listen to Kelly or another team member speak on a relevant topic in the industry. You can attend live and ask questions during the session. Can't be online live at that time? Not to worry. The price includes recordings and notes to follow along. On April 12th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join us as two of our team members, Amanda and Jesse, discuss search engine optimization, or SEO. Learn why applying SEO principles to your business can significantly improve your marketing and overall rankings. You'll learn the specific steps to do a competitive analysis for your local area. They'll take a look behind the scenes at the exact tools Team Flower uses to rank at the top of Google results for many floral topics. Register today by going over to teamflower.org/live. Join us to learn what SEO is, why it matters to the floral industry, and how to implement SEO principles into your business. Bring your questions and concerns and join us live online on April 12th at 3 p.m. by registering at teamflower.org/live. Thanks, and keep loving the world through flowers with us.
Hello, everyone. Today we have Ash of Film and Foliage in Newcastle, Australia. All the way from Australia, she's joining us bright and early on her side of the world. Just to tell you a little bit about her business, Film and Foliage designs richly layered and wildly beautiful creations. You have to go and check them out online at filmandfoliage.com or on Instagram at Film and Foliage. I mean, you will not be disappointed whatsoever. They create things for weddings, elopements, events, styled shoots, and it brings Ash and her team so much joy to create a floral vision in a mindful, eco-conscious, and stress-free way. They've also, very exciting, they've launched an online flower membership where like-minded florists can learn about the tools and techniques of the trade. It's called Wildflower Academy. We are so excited to have you here, Ash. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Yeah. So I would love to just start with learning more about you. Tell us about your flower journey. When did it start? How did it start? And how have you gotten to where you are today?
Okay. So it was entirely accidental. I didn't even consider being a florist. And then I was studying at uni
around maybe 12 years ago. I was studying linguistics, which is the study of language, which I loved. I was studying many languages alongside it. And then a few years in, I just got a really crappy lecturer and I just couldn't stay focused. So I took a year off and I felt a little bit lost, and I was considering moving to Sydney and studying in Sydney, but I was like, maybe I'll just make some money for a year and take a little break. But I love learning, so I didn't want to stop learning something. So I did a floristry course for fun while I worked in hospitality and built up some cash. And I just fell in love with floristry. So I never went back to uni. I kept doing the course and eventually got some work in the industry. And then it just slowly, organically ended up becoming a business owner, which was unexpected, but has been an amazing journey.
Yes. And so you do events. So what made you decide on going the wedding and events route over a retail shop or growing or a different route in the industry?
I don't know what it was. Even while I was studying at TAFE, I was always drawn towards events. I think it was the concept of creating a whole scene and having that many flowers to play with. I'm obsessed with just that feeling of being enveloped by flowers. I love anything that's like tumbling or overgrown or hanging. Like, I was really obsessed with hanging installations. I had no idea how to create them, but I used to string twine up in the back lane behind my house and just try to practice to learn how to do it. They didn't really teach it in my TAFE course, so it was very much trial and error. So I was always drawn to events and weddings, and I just wanted to create like a whole room of florals and make it all a big scene. And I was good at it, so I guess it just came along and I just kept doing it. I did attempt a little bit of retail during COVID lockdowns because that was where the work was, and I really didn't enjoy it. It wasn't for me. So I had to learn to let that go, even though I do have a vision of a cute little flower shop in my mind, but I just don't really want to run it. I just want to decorate it.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Well, you dipped your toes in, and maybe in the future, that will be on the horizon. Okay. So I was tickled by your practicing with twine and hanging installations in your backyard. Are there any, like, if you were going to give a tip about hanging installs that you have learned over, you know, these years, what would one of those be?
My main hanging, I'm not sure, that mechanic of choice is actually chains. I do not use twine. I rarely use rope. I love using chains and carabiners. It means I don't have to use cable ties. They're super easy to adjust the height. Mm-hmm. And I just like, they're sturdy and simple and effective. It's my go-to. Even I don't really mind if you can see a little bit of the chain in the install. I figure that's part of it. So don't use twine.
Get some steak chains
and some chicken wire and you go for gold.
Perfect. I love it. I love that. Okay. So speaking of all of your practice, how do you intentionally practice and develop skills to utilize in the industry?
So I have always loved practicing. Even I usually just get one. It's usually a design or a style or something that is not my strength, and I just become obsessed with it. So I generally put time aside every single week to practice, even if it's just grabbing a few flowers or playing around with flowers. Like, there was a time when I didn't really understand Kansans, flower frogs, or early in TAFE days, I was really obsessed with flower crowns. So I used to take home all my flowers from my course and make flower crowns and make my housemates wear them. I get like a deep focus on something, and then I just practice the hell out of it until I feel confident in it. It usually ends up becoming my strength. But a weekly practice is so important to me. Even sometimes it's more than weekly, just half an hour and some good music and just taking things slow and usually trying an idea and pushing it until it looks silly, and then pulling it back, like trying something like maybe seeing how many flowers you can get in a flower frog before it falls over, or something. I just take it a little bit too far and then I pull it back to something that I'm happy with. And that's when I really, really notice that my work and my style and my techniques improve drastically. It's probably the biggest tip I can give to any starting off florist.
I love that so much, that you have and still continue to be so intentional with taking the time to practice. I think that we, just as humans, really often have a fear of failure. And so that can prevent us from trying new things because we don't want to fail at it. But sometimes, like you said, you have to try it and push it past the limit. And then you learn what the limit is. You learn what that is. And then you can, the next time, you do better. Exactly. You learn from it. And I really, really love that. And I know that, I can't think of how many days exactly it takes to create a habit. But the practice of being creative and allowing yourself the freedom to play is so important.
Yes. It's so fun. Sometimes it's just choosing a color that I used to have a really weird aversion to green because
I wouldn't
use green foliage. All my color palettes are really warm tones, and I just felt like green had no place in my color palettes. And I just didn't use green. So one day I was like, I need to overcome this. So I went and bought a whole bunch of green flowers, and now I have an obsession with chartreuse, like that perfect limey green color. I love it. It complements so well, and it's brought a whole new depth to my color palettes. But yeah, it was an area that I was afraid of, or I was unsure of, or wasn't confident in, and now it's something that I love encouraging my clients to use. So yeah,
that's awesome. How did you implement the practice in the beginning, like before you were regularly doing events or regularly working with flowers? Where did you source from? Where did you get flowers from? And how would you encourage beginners to do that?
When I was studying at TAFE, we had to make these awful traditional designs, which didn't really align with my style. So I would take them home and pull them apart and just make something I liked a little bit better. I also had my mom's garden. She's an amazing gardener. She didn't pass on the skills, unfortunately, but
you don't have the green thumbs, huh?
No, I don't. She lets me pick from her garden whenever I like. So I do have that benefit of not having to always buy all the flowers, I guess. So if you know somebody with a great garden, people often, if you ask somebody who has an amazing overhanging tree, I've never had anyone be upset or tell me no. There's been a couple of times I've like knocked on someone's door and offered to buy like grevillea from their beautiful grevillea trees, and they're just so excited that somebody wants to make something with it. I've never had a bad experience doing so. So don't be afraid to ask people if you can snip a little bit from their garden. Just don't take it without asking.
Yes, please don't steal. Please don't steal other people's flowers.
Basically.
Yeah, I mean, you're not any worse off if they say no, you know.
Exactly.
You're stealing other flowers.
Yeah. And I also don't mind a good old forage on the highway. So.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, that leads me into another question, because I want to ask about your passion for having a sustainable business. So what to you is important for having a sustainable business with flowers, and how does film and foliage go about doing so?
So I guess the main one, which is like the big struggle for, which I completely understand, is we've cut out floral foam for many years in our business. We don't touch the stuff. And then it just sort of developed from there. So that was the main one. It was for like many reasons, obviously. There's the environmental and then the toxicness of the foam. And eventually it became that I just preferred my design style, not using foam. It's like I finally found a way to create what I wanted in my head. in the few times I've had to, when I've freelanced and worked with foam again, I find I've gone back to how I, like, it's just not the style that I want to create. My style is very wild and light and whimsical. So chicken wire actually works better for that. And then, yeah, from there, it just became looking back at the business and finding more and more ways that we can reduce waste. So we switched to only seasonal local Australian grown blooms. 99%, there's one or two flowers that you basically can't get in Australia that are very trendy at the moment. So we pick our battles. And then also when we get our waste back from weddings, just being really careful about reusing as much as possible. I have a beautiful celebrant who does eco confetti. So my flower heads go to her. Wow. And then we compost what we can and we dry what we can to reuse. And I tried not to use cable ties or any single-use plastics, just like really careful with our waste, and even just to our ribbons, trying to find like a natural, like a cotton, organic cotton rope instead of a synthetic ribbon that goes around our bouquets. Just taking a look at each area of the business and trying to find ways to improve it. It's really important to me. It makes sense to me to be sustainable in a business that relies on the earth for our product to protect our earth. So it just has always made sense to me. And now I find that clients seek me out because of those reasons, because it aligns with their values as well.
It's so sweet when you get to see the fruit of your passion lived out in the passions of your clients to you.
Yeah, really, it's amazing. Sweet.
Okay. I have a little bit of a random question for you, because I know that you're sourcing from farms, I'm assuming, in Australia. Mm-hmm. Like local farms. So what do you do with all the rubber bands?
Oh, we keep them. We make a rubber band ball, and then we're going to place that you can actually take them to recycle.
No way. Okay. Cause I would just have like this stacks and stacks and bins of rubber bands. And I'm just like, what do I do with these?
Yeah, we've got a pretty decent rubber band ball going at the moment.
That is amazing. I love it. I suppose that would also be a good toy or distraction if any mom florists have kids in their studio to play with the rubber band ball.
When my partner pops over, he finds it. He starts laughing. That's awesome. I'm like, not near the vases.
Oh my goodness. I love that. Well, thank you. I just want to take a moment and say thank you for doing what you can to love the world and take care of the earth through your business. I appreciate that, and I know that many others do too. And you're forging away, and yeah, keep it up. You're doing awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on and talk a little bit about events. So if for those who are listening, remember, Ash is in Australia, so their seasons are switched from that of us in the Northern Hemisphere. So for you, Ash, it's March is your busy season. You're in the heat of your fall wedding production, and you have inquiries just flying in for the next season. So how do you handle that? What's your system?
So yes, this is very much currently happening. It's so many weddings right now because it's post COVID lockdown. So all the postponements are happening, plus our regular weddings.
Yes.
It's a little bit chaotic. And then everyone who is planning their weddings in the next year, and maybe who wasn't able to plan in the past few years, is also inquiring. So it's nuts. I used to have a really bad quoting system where basically I would just avoid it because it wasn't my skill.
I'm sure you're not alone in that.
And I stumbled into business. I didn't come along with all of the business skills. So a lot of my business techniques is figuring out how to outsource, automate, overcome my lack of organization and my creative brain. So I actually, a year or two ago, was sitting down thinking about how many inquiries I'd missed out on because I hadn't gotten back to them in time, and how much time it was taking me to then get ghosted. So I really looked at the quoting process, and it really frustrated me how much free labor was involved and how much emotional quoting I was doing and how I could change that. And also my clients seemed to be stressed and frustrated at the process because they were overwhelmed trying to book a wedding, and they were confused about the cost of flowers and what they needed to have. So I flipped the whole process around. So I use a CRM called Dubsado, which I think is American actually. And I have created a pricing proposal that is almost, it's hard to explain, but it's similar to online shopping in that it just, there's a picture and a description and a price, and the client goes through and selects everything they want for their wedding. So it's really transparent. There's visual communication to show the size and the design. It also like kind of suggests ideas for what they might like to have at their wedding, which are basically just designs that I like to create. And we break everything down into flowerfulness so that I have three different levels. So I have like minimal, mixed flowers and foliage, or like really luxe. And then everything's broken down into meters for installations, or so everything can be calculated really simply. So basically when a client inquires of me, they are sent this automatically. So I can be off doing a wedding. They're sent this form. They can select every element they want, write me little notes, upload some pictures, and then it generates a quote automatically, and I can just review it quickly, add on my travel and labor, and send them the quote. It takes me about 2 minutes. Wow. And my clients reach out and thank me for this form. So it works from both sides. They love it.
That sounds incredible. What is this system you're using? Will you spell it out for us?
Dubsado, Dubsado. It's a customer relations management system. So it manages all your clients. There's many, many different ones. So you can, I guess, research which one works best for you, but it's basically just organizes all of your leads and clients, and you can automate emails and put your contracts and everything into it. It's just magical.
Wow.
System.
Yes. Oh, magical. I feel like that is a really great word for it, especially I've definitely used CRMs, and I know a lot of our listeners are familiar with different ones. Although I don't think I've ever heard of one that would send out the quote for you. That is.
So it doesn't send the quote. You could automate it to send the quote, but because of our style of work, I do review the quote and make sure that the client has selected something that doesn't align with the image that they've uploaded, or if they have questions, I can review it. But if you were, for example, a graphic designer, they could literally just select what they wanted and it could generate the invoice and send it straight to them, could send them the payment details into broken down invoices. Like it's so you can automate it and create a workflow that's just, it's pretty incredible what you can do with it.
Oh yeah, that sounds really great. I'm so glad that you have found that. And I think that it's nice to hear you speak about how you've recognized the areas in which you have strength, and that being the creative side of things, and the areas in which you're not necessarily the strongest, which is the business side of things. And you have, just like you have with your designs and your weekly practices, you have found ways to make that a strength too. So yeah, I think that that's really great and a good tidbit for our listeners to take away is, even if you notice a weakness in yourself, there is a way to turn it into a strength, whether that be systemizing something or hiring someone else to accomplish that task. So yes.
Best thing ever. Yeah.
So, Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think there's a lot of areas in floristry that are maybe outdated or haven't been looked at in a while. And whenever I hear a collective group of florists complaining about a similar issue, I stop and go, well, why don't we change? Like, how can we change that? Like, what is it? How can we solve this problem? So I think you can look, like, I always tell my members in Wildflower Academy, I'm like, stop doing things the way everyone else is doing them. You can do it any way you want. It's your business. So design it how you'd like to.
I love that. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about Wildflower Academy. What is it? Why was it born? Tell us more.
It was born through many people asking me to teach them foam-free designs. That's how that began. I always shared a lot of behind the scenes on my social media. So I was fairly open with my, because I want people to not use foam. So the best way to do that is to show how easy it is. That's what I decided. So I would always share the behind the scenes and like, this is how I created an Ava. And then more and more people started reaching out. I was intending to do in-person workshops, and then we went into many lockdowns, so that was kind of off the table. But with the lockdowns, I had a lot of free time. So I built a way to share these techniques in a more affordable way and to reach people who aren't in my area, who weren't allowed to travel. So I basically just set up a camera in my studio and film myself creating something. And I take a lot of direction from my members and what they want to learn. So at the moment they're asking for costing and installations, and so that's what we're focusing on. And yeah, I just create something, for example, a hanging installation. And while I'm creating it, I'm thinking really carefully about what I'm doing, because a lot of the time I just create intuitively.
Right.
And so I have to really review why I'm placing things, but that's really good for me as well. And then once I've filmed it, I just do a simple edit myself and do a voiceover so I can explain everything I'm doing and upload it. It's just a subscription-based membership circuit. It's affordable. It's $17 a week. And you get access to our community as well. So you get one class a week, you get the community where there's like amazing supportive florists, everyone's helping each other out. And you just get like a regular injection of inspiration and knowledge and, I don't know, I guess motivation to keep trying something new. And yeah, it's going really well. I love it. I wasn't expecting all the warm and fuzzies I would feel when people tell me they've put a technique into place and done their first frame free Arba, or really like leveled up their quoting process. And it's such a nice feeling. So yes. I'm loving it so much.
I would imagine it probably feels a little bit like you're an older sister who has taught her younger sister how to do something, and then she does it and you're like, oh, I'm so proud of you.
Yes, it is. It's so much like that.
The floral community is so, so beautiful. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all of the facets that the floral community can come together and support one another. I would love to hear too, Ash, how the community with other floral professionals has helped and encouraged you.
It's kind of a small city, and it's everybody sort of knows each other. When I first began in floristry, it felt very secretive in the floral industry. I remember working for somebody and they were really funny about anyone doing a similar style to them, and they didn't want me working for anybody else in case I shared their secrets. And it just felt like you couldn't find new information and you couldn't make friends, and it was competitive. And when I came into it, I would see somebody who had an amazing style and be like, hey, I love your style, would you like to come freelance with me? And they would ask me questions. And at first I was like, why, like, how dare you ask where my fathers are from? And then they were openly sharing too. And I felt like the people, I guess I was a bit younger than the people I was working for. So I was like, as I was going into it, making friends around my age, I felt like we were sort of forging a new community path. So from then I realized how amazing and helpful it is and how much you can grow just from sharing with each other. So if a new florist came to town, I'd pop over to the shop and say hi and introduce myself. And they were always shocked. And they're like, wow.
That's awesome.
And just slowly, I think Instagram helps. You can just send a nice little fangirl message whenever you're loving on someone's work. But my community in Newcastle is amazing. I have a florist probably three blocks away from me who should be one of my biggest competitions, one of my best friends. And we grab each other's flowers all the time and share and use each other's vases and encourage, like, I finish a wedding and I send her a picture of my wedding because we're excited about it. So aww, it's just really lovely. And then even going into the Sydney community, there's a lot of amazing small business owners, and we have Facebook groups and we all chat and we share and we ask and we say hi at the markets. And it's been probably one of the best ways for me to grow as a business, because there's so much to learn. And say, for example, if I'm going to a venue in Sydney that I'm not familiar with, I'd so confidently just ask a question in the Facebook group and everyone give me as much advice as they could, where to park and when the best time to bump in is and who to talk to. So it is really, really lovely. And you get as much back as you put in, I think. So yeah, yes, it's really important.
I totally
to eat it.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I find that I'm hearing more and more stories like yours of floral communities who are kind and they embrace one another and encourage one another and help, you know, like you said, you and your flower friend, you go and grab each other's flowers, things like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, renting vases from one another and things like that. It's just, it's so important. It's so much better. We're stronger together than we are apart.
Definitely.
And so, and there's enough work. There's enough work for everyone. So
there's so much work here. There's like, we're very close to a few different wedding venue areas, like little patches, and there's so much work. And as long as, I think as long as your style is your style and you're doing your own thing, it shouldn't be competitive, because you want clients to book you for you and not, and not be like tossing up between you and another florist. Like if you have really unique styles, which we all do, there's no issue with it. You're not trying to compete on pricing, or you're not feeling secretive or worried about losing out on bookings, because you know that your clients are going to come to you.
Right. Right. And you're not clawing after someone else's client.
Exactly.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as we kind of wrap up today, I just want to give you the floor to say what is on your heart for the floral industry. It could be a challenge or a word of encouragement or a song that's been speaking to you. Just what would you have for the floral industry today?
Ooh, I don't know. I think I'm really excited to see where it's going. I'm seeing floral design really turn into being celebrated in this world as an art form more than a trade. So I'm so excited to see all the amazing creations people are coming up with and pushing flowers to the next limit. And I'm loving the slow flowers approach people are taking on. That would be my biggest thing, like goal for the year, is to slow down. And that's the way I'd like to run my business in the future, is to do less hectic running around and really have the time to focus and appreciate and arrange with intention somehow in the wedding industry as well.
Yes, if that's possible. Surely, that's possible. Surely it is.
Honestly, that's my biggest goal at the moment. I'm like, how do I do this? How do I make
when
this
you
work?
Attain that's it moment. When you attain it, Ash, you got to make sure you let us know so that you can share all your tips and secrets. Yes.
I'm just I'm so determined to be able to just put on some chilled out music and play with flowers, but still make money.
Yes. All right. If you're listening and you figured it out, let us know.
What's the secret?
What's the secret? You got to be on the podcast next. Ash, thank you so much for, first of all, for the way that you're loving the world through flowers and for the work that you're doing, and just for just being kind and friendly to those around you. And thank you also for taking the time to pop on and join us in conversation today.
No worries, really. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you can find Ash online at filmandfoliage.com or on Instagram at filmandfoliage. I'm sure she would love to hear from you if you want to shoot her own fangirl DM. Feel free to do so. And also, if you're listening, take Ash's advice and take a moment to slow down and be intentional and practice. And remember why you love what you do. Until next time, everyone.
Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.